Well, we are continuing our study of our 14 articles of faith. Tonight, we come to number 7. Article 1 dealt with the Trinity. Article 2 dealt with the person of Jesus Christ. Article 3 dealt with the resurrection, and we just had Easter. And Article 4 dealt with the Holy Spirit. Article 5 dealt with the Bible, the Word of God. And last time, Article 6 dealt with eternity, and I believe that was the Wednesday I was gone and got sunburned. That's what I get for missing church. Amen. I didn't tell y'all probably didn't even see that. If you'd come to Best Buy on Friday, I would look like that fella in the Looney Tunes when he's got his real big and red. And tonight we come to the 7th article of faith, which deals with what we believe about the blood of Jesus. Now, I'm going to read it to you tonight, but we've got the scriptures tonight. So if you want to go ahead and turn in your Bible to Hebrews chapter 12, and we can go ahead and bring that up on the screen if we can. And we appreciate Miss KK helping us out tonight. And Brother Blue, I believe he's on vacation. And so when you have the scripture ready, KK, just give me a thumbs up, and that way I know it's behind me. Okay. But I'm going to read the article of faith before I read the scripture. And you say, well, why are we talking about the articles of faith? We are doing it because we need to know what we believe in. And we need to be reminded of what we believe in. And we've got new people coming, new converts, new souls added to the kingdom. And a lot of churches, they don't have a belief system. They just believe any and everything. There's a lot of deception in the land. People say, well, it don't matter what you believe. I'm sorry, it does matter what you believe. Just like it matters what medicine you take. All medicines are not going to help you. You got to have the right medicine for the right sickness. You've got to have the right God for the right way to heaven. Amen? And so there's a lot of deception. And also, this gives us a chance to put it on MP3, CD, on our wonderful YouTube channel. Brother Baker, we so appreciate him doing all of that. And it looks so professional, done so well. Amen? So Article 7 is what we're talking about tonight. I'm going to read it. This is straight out of our doctrine. We believe that Jesus Christ shed his blood for the remission of sins that are past, for the regeneration of penitent sinners, for the salvation from sin and from sinning. Now, we quote Romans 3 and 25, 1 John 3, 5 through 10, Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. But I'm going to read Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22 through 24. If you're there, say amen. Would you stand with me tonight as we read our main scripture tonight? Let's read it together. Everyone read out loud. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels. Verse 23. To the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect. Verse 24. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Turn around and tell your neighbor, God's got better things for you through the blood. Amen. Anoint, Lord, the preaching of your word in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. And you may be seated tonight. Let's one more time give the Lord praise for the love of God and for the blood of the Lord. Amen. Now, several years ago, there was a beer commercial, Budweiser, and their theme was, "This Bud's for You." I hated it every time I saw it, and I don't believe in drinking beer, and my daddy's life was ruined because of not alcohol, scotch, whiskey. It was destroyed because of Budweiser. But the phrase, "This Bud's for You," I thought about His blood's for you, because it speaks of better things. It won't take from your life like a beer will do. It will add to your life. Tell somebody, His blood's for you. Tell somebody that. So let me make it clear. We as an International Pentecostal Holiness Church believe firmly, emphatically, unapologetically that there is no salvation. Say that with me. No salvation without the shed blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And the reason we say this, if we go to John chapter 6, verse 53, John chapter 6, verse 53, it says, Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. And the Bible says in 1 John 1:7, that if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. We unapologetically believe that there's power in the blood, that the blood is not incidental, it is fundamental. And we're living in a day when people have de-emphasized the blood of Jesus. I heard a very popular church growth man say in one of his conferences that we don't sing those songs, the blood of the Lamb. We don't use that terminology. I thought to myself, why not? It's right in the Bible. Well, people don't understand that. Well, I tell you what, we'll explain it to them. Amen. There is power in the blood of Jesus. In fact, some of the mainline denominations, they started taking out of their hymn books songs like Power in the Blood. There is a fountain filled with blood. Are you washed in the blood? And one of those mainline denominations, now their battle is over the gay agenda. So I think if they would have kept the blood in there, it might would have been theologically more sound today, so that they could offer the precious blood of cleansing and salvation to those struggling with those tendencies that we call homosexuality, lesbianism, adultery, all of that. There is something about glory, the precious blood of the Lamb. Oh, there's a fountain filled with blood. His blood is flowing from Calvary. And there's power in that blood. And we need to preach it. We need to sing it. We need to teach it in the girls' ministries, Royal Rangers. We need to emphasize the blood of the Lamb. When Billy Graham was getting started, and they knew he had a lot of potential, one of his professors from Cornell University, or a professor from Cornell University, wrote him a letter. He said, Mr. Graham, you have great talent. And you have what it takes to be a successful minister. But if you want to continue to be successful, you're going to have to leave out preaching on the blood. It is out of date to the enlightened man of the 20th century, and they will not swallow it. Billy Graham said, after I received that letter, I determined at that moment to preach more on the blood of Jesus than ever. And look what happened as a result of the preaching of the blood. Amen. Because where there is no blood, there is no life. If you go to Deuteronomy chapter 12 and verse 23, Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 23, it says, only be sure that you eat not blood, for the blood is the life. For the blood is life. I like this. For the blood is life. I tell you, that's scientific. If you bleed out, your life will be gone. And it's very important, loss of blood. You can tell the severity of things and the injury of things by the loss of blood. Where there is blood, there is life. Oh, praise God. And where there's blood in the body of Christ, there's life in the body. You take the blood out of the hymns, you take the blood out of the pulpit, you take the blood out of the people, and there's a powerless, dead, formalistic church that will not change anybody. But if the blood is flowing in this body, oh, sinners will be saved. Alcoholics will be set free. Drug addicts will be converted. People will repent of their sins because there's blood. There's life in the blood. Amen? Where there's blood, there's life. And I believe there's life here at Westmoreland because of the blood of the Lamb. Say amen tonight. But not only in the body of Christ, there's blood. But the book of Christ is a book about blood. The Bible speaks in Genesis how that Cain shed the blood of his brother Abel. And my wife knows this, and she knows what I'm going to say. But I love to watch those TV shows where somebody has murdered someone. I don't love murder, but the blood has gotten into the walls that nobody can see with the human eye. And that blood will sit there. In fact, there was a cold case that just I saw in a newspaper from Smithfield because of DNA, because of blood. And they'll go back with a light, and they're like, well, there's blood all over. And they can take that blood, examine that blood. And I love to see how and what God told Cain, the voice of your brother's blood cries from the ground. And those shows on TV, if anybody doubts the existence of God, you could just point to any of those investigation, discovery, 48 Hours Mysteries, cold case files. You can say, look, that even on TV, it affirms the fact that the voice, the blood has a voice. And it can speak 20 years later and say a murder was committed. My friend, there's something about the blood. And so in Genesis, we find the mention of blood. And then in Revelation, from Genesis to Revelation, in the book of Revelation, it says he had a robe dipped in blood. There are over 450 references to blood. One preacher said, if you cut the Bible, it bleeds. From Genesis to Revelation, there's one theme, and it is redemption. And Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. The theme of the Bible is redemption. Well, how are we redeemed? It says, for as much as you know, you are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain lifestyle received from the tradition of your fathers. But, verse 19, with the what? Precious blood of Jesus Christ, as of a lamb without blemish. That's why we sing power in the blood. Somebody give him a hand of praise tonight. The blood brings redemption. Would you be free from the burden of sin? What is it, church? There's power in the blood. Would you, O evil, a victory win? There's wonderful power. Would you be free from your passion and pride? Come for cleansing from Calvary's tide. Oh, would you do service for Jesus your King? Would you live daily his praises to ring? There is power in the blood. There is power, power. I'm about to run the aisle. Working power in the blood. There is power, power, glory, wonder working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Somebody shout hallelujah tonight. Now, what makes his blood so powerful? And I'm going to give you 3 points. Number one is because it's sacred blood. It's not the blood of a President Donald Trump. It's not the blood of the Virgin Mary or Hare Krishna or the Prophet Muhammad. It is the blood of the virgin-born Son of the living God who died. Oh, whoop, he died. But he didn't just stay in that grave. He came out of that grave on the third day. And his blood is sacred blood. Because everybody knows, this is science proves the Bible. Science was never against the Bible. People's interpretation of science can be against the Bible. But the more they discover, the more you find God. People say, well, there's a big bang. Well, in the center of that, who caused the bang? Here's somebody said, bang. God said, let there be light, and bang, there it was. Come on now. And so everyone knows that the blood is traced through the Father. The blood type is traced through the Father. But Jesus was not born naturally or conceived naturally. It was not a man and a woman in a normal conception. It was a miracle conception. How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? That's a fair question. That wasn't a doubtful question. That was just a fair question. And so when Jesus was conceived, he didn't carry the bloodline of his father. So because of that, his blood did not contain Adam's sin. People need to understand that sin is transmitted through the blood. When Adam and Eve sinned and they produced children, those children carried in them the blood of rebellion, the blood of sin, the blood of disobedience. They carried with them, in a sense, tainted blood, physically and spiritually. There's two aspects to the blood. And so if Jesus had been born, been a product of Joseph, then he would have been just an average, regular human being. And so what's the big deal about that? Because understand that if in the Old Testament, let me put it this way. In order for your sins to be forgiven, they have to be paid for. And people think, well, God just washes away sins. In a sense, he does wash away sins. But please understand, all sins have to be judiciously dealt with. God is not a righteous judge, okay? So if it's just your blood or Pastor Jerry's blood or Pastor Ricky's blood or anybody's blood, and if you offered my blood for your sins, I'm going to tell you, I'm not in better shape than you are. Now, you might even be better than me. Amen. But if you offer the blood of somebody who's never, ever sinned, who never committed a crime, who never for one half a second, you know, when Jesus was on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them. He didn't say, Father, forgive me. Why? Because Jesus never apologized because he didn't have to. He never messed up. He was perfect. He had not only untainted blood, but he chose. He could have sinned. He could have been tempted in sin, in all points tested like we are, yet without sin. He did not sin. And I want you to know, because he not only had pure blood, and not only did he make righteous decisions, he became the perfect sacrifice for our sin. You might think, well, I'm going to get, and I'm telling you, that's what people need to know this. Are you going to go to heaven? Well, Brother Ricky, I'm sure trying. Well, if you're trying, you're not relying on the blood of Jesus. You're relying on your blood. Well, Brother Ricky, I'm going to quit this. Or Brother Ricky, I'm going to start doing this. Or Brother Ricky, I'm going to do a little better here. And when I stand before God, I hope maybe I'll get a half a chance because of my good nature to get... No, you're relying on your blood. It's not your blood that's going to save you. You've got to say, Lord, wash me in the precious blood. Cleanse me of every sin. I can't save myself. I need the precious blood to cleanse me from my sin and empower me to live godly. It is sacred blood. Amen. Pure blood. Somebody give him a hand of praise here tonight. His blood was sacred, and his blood is for you. Not only is it a sacred blood, but number two, it's saving blood. It's saving blood. Because his blood was sacred, therefore it can save. I read the true story one time of a party of six people who began a dangerous descent of a peak in the Swiss Alps. The first man in line lost his foothold and slipped over the icy ledge. The next two men slid after him while the experienced climbers above braced themselves and stood firm to bear the shock. They thought, without any question, they would simply hold, and all those men would be saved by the rope that they were connected to. But when the rope ran its length, the cord snapped in two. The climbers watched in horror as their friends scrambled helplessly to stop their slide over the slick precipice. Within seconds, these men fell screaming to their deaths 4,000 feet below. For a half an hour, the other three climbers were frozen in silence and fear. They were unable to move. Finally, they began the slow, painstaking descent down the mountain. Hours later, they arrived safely, wondering what had happened. Why had the rope broke? They were told that true Alpine Club rope would never break, and that's true. So they thought they had a rope that was guaranteed never to break. Alpine rope for mountain climbers is guaranteed to never break. The survivors were shocked when a close examination revealed that the rope they had was not the true Alpine rope. It was a poor, cheap substitute. And how did they know that it was not the true Alpine Club rope the professional climbers used? Because true Alpine Club quality rope has a red strand running through it. And without that red strand, it may look like the rope. It may feel like the rope. But when you need it and it don't have that red strand, you're doomed. And my friend, I want you to know that when it comes to our sins and when it comes to our salvation, there is a rope of hope. It is a scarlet thread, a scarlet cord. And I promise you, over hell's flames itself, it will never break. It will never lose its power. As long as you're connected to the bloodline, it is a sacred blood, and it is a saving blood. I'm saved from death and hell. Why? Because of the precious blood. We believe in the blood of Jesus. Somebody shout amen.
Amen.
Hebrews 9 and 22 says, almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there's what?
No remission.
Animal sacrifices. You know, when you read the Old Testament, and if you just let it sink into you, and there are times, just right now I'm reading through the Old Testament, we're reading through the New Testament. In fact, I'm just a tad bit behind when we were in Joshua. But reading through Leviticus, reading through Exodus, you shall take a bull and slaughter him. Now, listen to me. Just let your imagination go. A bull, a big bull. And men take that bull by the horns, lift up its head. They take a sharp, gleaming knife. And they whisk that knife across the throat of that bull. And he shivers and stammers and gasps for air that he will not get. And blood begins to pour out. I'm going to tell you, that's not something I want to do. Are y'all with me? I don't even want to pull my wife's cat's tail. I'm telling you. I do every now and then. But I'm telling you, that ain't nothing what that people did to that bullock. All those little lambs. Can you imagine? Listen, those of you that love animals and you love dogs and you love cats and you've got. Can you imagine taking a little lamb and it's got those pretty little eyes and you're going to pull up its head and shed its blood? Now, I'm like, when I'm reading through the Old Testament, I'm like, you've got to understand that all of that, the lambs and the bulls and the goats, all of that was to put into people's mind that sin cost you something. And sin brings death. That little animal was innocent, but it's for your sin. He's dying. That bull is dying for me. And isn't that also a picture of grace? You mean, God, I'm really the one. You are the one to have your neck slashed. You're the one that are shed your blood. But God said, no, let that bull take your sin. Because what it does is it points to the Son of God. And just as sorry as you feel for a bull or for a lamb or for a ram, can you imagine a human? You read stories of those civilizations that would offer human sacrifices. That they would take people, and satanic temples would take people and on Halloween, and they will find a sacrifice. Friend, all of that points to this, that none of that will save. It's just, in the Old Testament, it's just a substitute. Because on a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, and his son was bled and died, and it was sacred blood, and it's saving blood. You cannot do anything else but rejoice in it. And receive it and be thankful that there was a substitute. And when I stand before the Lord, it is because of what Jesus did for me. Amen.
Amen.
What can wash away my sin? What can make me whole again? You can't be like this little boy. There was a little boy I heard about who hated to take a bath. Just despised soap and water. And one day his mother, trying desperately to approach the subject from a more successful angle, as mothers try to do, said, son, you do want to be a nice, clean little boy, don't you? And her little boy said, yes, ma'am. But mama, can you just sort of dust me off? We need more than a dusting off. We need to be plunged in the precious blood of the Lamb. Baptized into Christ. None of our righteousness, which is filthy rags. The Bible says in Exodus chapter 12, verse 13, Exodus chapter 12, verse 13, and the blood shall be to you a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not come upon you to destroy you. You can put your degrees on the door, not enough. You can put your church membership on the door, not enough. You can put your family tree on the door, not enough. You can put all of your good works, all of your Sunday school lessons, not enough. But if you'll put the blood of Jesus on the doorpost of your heart, it's enough. It will satisfy. He said, when I see that blood, I will pass over you. Somebody give him a hand of praise here tonight. Now, I said all that to get to my last and final point, because this is shouting ground here. He said, Brother Ricky, you shouting a lot over the blood. That's one thing to shout about. The Lord is good. Well, I don't know if he's going to do it. You know what? If he shed his blood, what would he not do for you? Amen. Well, my light bills do. He's going to take care of your light bill. If not, ask Pastor Jerry and we'll help you out. All right. You here in the church. We're not doing it for everybody out there in the world. Can't do it. We'd love to, but we can't. But he's going to take care of you. Amen. Amen. My car's not fixed. He shed his blood. I've been diagnosed with a disease. He shed his blood. And with his stripes, we are what? Do you know what comes with stripes? Blood. So it really means by his blood, we are healed. Some of us just need a blood transfusion. Amen. But not only is his blood sacred. I'm preaching my point and I ain't told you the point. His sacred blood, say amen. Excuse me. Sacred blood, say amen. It's saving blood, say amen. Amen. And there's power in the blood because it's sacred blood, because it's saving blood. And number three, because it's shared blood. Now, what do you mean by that? Shared blood. Because the blood was not only shed 2,000 years ago, it's also shared tonight. See, it was shed blood on Calvary. But tonight in this altar, it shared the blood. It's still flowing. It's still there if you need it. I remember in the 80s, they sang a song, I have a source of strength when I am weak that takes me through when life is pressing me. I have a source of power from above. I'm covered over by a shield of love. If anybody remembers that song, I claim the blood Jesus shed on Calvary. Those precious blood stains were made there just for me. For all my sin, my sickness, my pain. When I need healing, I just claim those precious blood stains. The songwriter goes on to say, I do not know how others make it through who never go to Calvary as I do. For there a healing, cleansing stream still flows with peace that only his redeemed can know. I claim the blood that Jesus shed on his blood is a shed blood. It's a shared blood. It's still flowing. You can claim the blood when you're scared. You can claim the blood when you're facing a mountain. You can claim the blood when you're standing on the promises. You have bloodline in the blood. You know what? I'm not got anybody in my bloodline. You're in the bloodline of royalty. Your father is a king, and your brother is the Lord of glory, and we're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Listen, the shed blood saves us, but the shared blood keeps us saved. See, I remember, this is special to me because I remember my very first sermon as the lead pastor of Living Waters here, right here in pulpit. It would look different then, remodeled now. But I was the first April 7th, 1996. And that was Easter Sunday that year. And my first sermon as the pastor, first sermon as a full-time pastor, was Christ our Passover. I preached on the Passover. It was Easter. And I ended that sermon, and the Lord gave me that. I was in the parsonage. Living Waters used to have a parsonage right down the road here on Flowers Drive. And I was upstairs getting that message ready. First sermon, first Sunday, new pastorate, 24. I was going to be 25 that year. I was 24 years old. 24, my goodness. Wow. 24. Brother Ray and some of those guys, they raised me. Amen. I'm telling you. I hope you raised a good preacher, brother. Amen. But I preached that morning, and I talked about the Passover. You know that you got to put the blood before you put the blood on the door, you had to go in the house, and you had to shed the blood. And my point that morning was that they put the blood in a basin. And I remember that Sunday, I remember saying, we might better call it a bucket. You know, we're rural folks here. We're Eastern North Carolina. Okay. You know what a bucket is, don't you? You might not know what a basin is, but I know what a bucket. So for lack of a better term, they put the blood in a bucket or a basin, a bucket. Now, the question is, if that blood had stayed, it had been shed, the lamb had died, but if that blood did not get on that doorpost, you'd have been dead. The point I was trying to say is the blood is in the bucket. That's what Jesus did. But you've got to use it. You've got to apply it. You got to pick the bucket up, take the hyssop stick, which was like a paintbrush, take the hyssop, pull that blood out of that bucket, and you got to take it to on this side. You got to take it on that side. You got to take it on that side. You got to share that blood. I'm telling you, our families are dependent on that blood. Everybody in that house was saved. My children are going to be saved. My family's going to be saved. I got the blood over the Scott family. I got the blood over every family, over the Johnson family, over the Meeks family, over the Roy Clark family. Amen. We got the blood over the Page family. I'm sharing that blood tonight. I'm applying the blood on my mind. I'm applying the blood over this pulpit. Glory to God, it's not going to sit in the bucket. Use the blood. Plead the blood. Love the blood. Preach the blood. Shout the blood. Give him a hand of praise for the blood. I tell you, the devil, he can handle a music. The devil, he don't care about how pretty your building is. The devil can just smirk when you've got all kinds of talent. But I'm telling you, when you pull the blood out of that bucket, he trembles. He cannot cross the bloodline. I said, he cannot cross the bloodline. Watch. No wonder he doesn't mind churches as long as they don't preach the blood. As long as they don't sing about the blood, he can sit right in there and have church with you. But I'm telling you, you start singing and applying and preaching and getting the altar, you're going to have a revival, glory to God. Somebody lift your hand. I feel some blood flowing here tonight. Hallelujah! The blood! Well, glory, I'm going to take a strip down the aisle tonight. The blood. We proclaim it. We proclaim it over those that are sick. Hallelujah. The blood. Well, glory, somebody. We about to have church on Wednesday night. Revelation 12 and 11. Revelation 12 and 11. And they overcame him by what? You don't know what I've been through. They overcame him by the blood. By the blood of the Lamb. And by the word of their testimony. Amen? Well, I'm out of sermon, and we still got a few more minutes. I like, as the kids are coming in, I'll give you a couple of things to chew on. It is said that Napoleon, who the conqueror of Europe in the 1800s, who went all the way to Moscow and almost defeated the British at a place called Waterloo. Had he defeated the British, we'd all be speaking French today, probably. Because he would have certainly came on over to America, young America, and would have defeated us. But it said that Napoleon Britain stood against him. And the Battle of Waterloo, God turned the tide against that dictator. And Napoleon took a map and he pointed to the British Isles and remarked. And on the map, there was a red dot where Britain was. He said, if it were not for that red dot, I would be able to conquer the world. And that's what Satan, when he puts a map out of your life, or he puts a map out of the church, or he puts a map out of this world, a map of all eternity, there's a red spot at Calvary. And I can see Satan saying, if it weren't for that red spot, if it weren't for that red dot, I could have every child, I could have every mother, I could have every church, I could have it all. But there's, because of that red blood, thank God he doesn't have it all. Can you say amen tonight? Do you need a healing tonight? Anybody need a healing tonight? Why don't you claim the blood of Jesus Christ? Do you need forgiveness tonight? We all need forgiveness. We need forgiveness when we don't sometimes realize we need forgiveness. The Bible says, Lord, forgive me of the things that I don't even know I'm guilty of. Forgive me of secret faults, things that I'm not aware of. Some of my prayers is, Lord, show me where I hurt someone. Show me where I didn't represent you. But let me close with this. I'm asking the pastor to come. But I just want to ask you tonight, do you believe in the blood of Jesus Christ? Amen. Do you believe it's important for us to sing it, preach it, and to teach it? It's a sacred blood. It's a saving blood. And it's a shared blood. Amen? It's for you. This blood's for you. Tell somebody that. This blood's for you. I was reading about how a sailor is designated at night. Now, this is, I'm not sure if they do it now. This is a few years ago. As the officer of the deck. That means he has to watch late at night. He would have to stay awake for a designated period of time, usually around 4 hours, and keep a watch out to ensure there was nothing wrong with the ship. The officer of the deck usually would stand on the bridge where the ship is controlled and steered. At night, no white lights are allowed on the bridge because they hinder the ability to look out and see other ships or obstacles to the safety of the ship. So all of the lights and flashlights have a red filter over the lens at night. Y'all following me? When these officers would receive messages or documents overnight, they could read those documents and messages as long as it was not written in red ink or red felt-tip pen. Because if the document was written in red, the red light would blend with the ink of the pencil and you couldn't see what was on the paper. Would you stand with me tonight? When we receive Jesus Christ, God puts a red He puts a red filter over the lens of His eyes. And when He looks down at our life and He sees the sins we are guilty of, He really can't see them because of that red filter, the red filter of the blood of the Lamb. I claim the blood. Father, tonight, in the mighty name of Jesus, those who need healing, those who need salvation, those who need deliverance, we ask you tonight, Lord, to just bring cleansing as our pastor comes through the precious blood of the Lamb. Oh, God, you're able. Lift your hands up to the Lord tonight and thank Him for that precious blood. Oh, He's looking down like through that filter. He doesn't see our sins. He doesn't see our mistakes. You say, Brother Ricky, I failed the Lord. He's got a red filter looking through you tonight, looking to you tonight. You say, Brother Ricky, I've made a lot of mistakes. It's all gone. It's washed in the precious blood. And what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the blood. Oh, precious.
gracious is the flow that makes me white as snow, and no other found I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Oh, precious is the flow, sing it.
And oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow, and no
other
fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Nothing but the blood.